Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. If you want another one, too bad! This is the one that you get. I am joined, as always, by Ryan Nanny, Jason Kirk.
You're Ryan Nanny.
Holly Anderson. And on the ones and twos, Michael Server.
Ryan, you sound handsome.
Ryan always sounds handsome. I wanted to go ahead and introduce you to
you,
a couple of facts that you may not have known.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Spencer Hall. That's not important.
I'm Spencer Hall.
I'm Spencer Hall.
If we switched bodies,
mm-hmm.
How long do you think it would take for one of us to beg out of it? Like, how long do you think we could go?
I'm older than you. It would be you. You'd be like, oh, God.
We have to go back.
Oh, no.
Boy, everything hurts this tummy. It's wild.
Ryan, I'm like a year older than you, but I slept on the wrong side like 2 weeks ago, and I still can't move my shoulder above like here, above a right angle.
Okay.
Which in itself is not as good as Spencer dislocating his shoulder by falling asleep on his stomach in a beanbag.
Drunk. Yes, that's important.
Spencer, oh. I'm gonna say it right here on this podcast. If we are ever in some sort of freak accident together where your body is dying, my body is fine, my brain is dead, you can put your brain in my body. That's okay.
Oh, buddy, that's fine.
Like, and now we're talking about Krang again.
Yeah. Should offer this up to Jamie Lee Curtis for services rendered.
Yeah. I wouldn't wish this on you, though. You'd be like...
I'll be dead. I won't care.
No. But like, if it's the other way around, yeah, and you're like, oh, my soul needs a new vehicle to occupy, my last dying thoughts are going to be like, dead inside! No! Condemned!
Yeah.
Spencer,
choose the afterlife!
Even in death, we must serve.
I'm picking one of the dogs instead.
Turning myself into a college football servitor so I can get these takes off for eternity. Brother.
Gamecock Dreadnought.
Speaking of Gamecock Dreadnought, did you know that there's a South Carolina player?
Did we say the Coors Light thing?
Do the goddamn Coors Light thing.
We'll do the Coors Light thing. This episode is brought to you by Coors Light.
Don't you know it's made to chill, you sheep fuck?
Mountain cold refreshment. And as Holly just reminded us, made to chill.
There is a
South Carolina football player on the defensive line named Tonka Hemingway. Just remember the most
important Hemingway ever created.
Literally the most boy name possible.
Correct. Quien es más masculino? No one. Tonka Hemingway is it. This is the franchise.
Definitely the most important Hemingway in the history of the southeastern United States.
I'm definitely the best writer. Mm-hmm. Because he does have bars, by the way, because he was asked, what's the most hostile road environment that he'd ever encountered in the SEC? And Tonka Hemingway responded with, Texas A&M, they definitely get after it. Also, Tennessee gets pretty loud.
Tonka Hemingway's rival, of course, Nerf Faulkner.
He's at Ole Miss, right?
I say this drum contains 50 gently applied darts. Tonka said these two things, and I want you to know how short.
I've lost my turfulator.
Power Wheels O'Connor.
I shall sublimate my love for my cousin, forbidden by the mores of the time, by engaging in mock combat with my fellow compadres.
All y'all are sleeping on Florida's contribution, Truck Nuts Fernandez.
I don't know that he's not on the roster currently.
Okay. It's a
transfer portal. He's in the transfer portal.
He's got a double name, so he's Southern. It's Truck-Nuts.
Yeah, he's in the portal, but everyone in Florida Forbes is like, they're going to steal it. Oh, God, Billy's lost it.
I saw something this year that I've never seen before.
Hmm.
I don't know how I've never seen this before. I haven't been going to Vol Navy since the 80s, but I saw truck nuts hanging off a boat.
You saw boat nuts?
Yeah.
Hmm. Aqua nuts.
I assume that they're flotational.
I like this because...
That's what nuts do.
Yeah, they are in a bathtub, yeah.
Boats are classically gendered as female, but gender is a construct.
Mm-hmm.
So
have we got? And what do boats? I'm sorry. What do boats leave when they pass through the water?
Wake.
Yeah.
Oh, the boats are woke.
Yeah,
woke
boats.
The very woke Vol Navy.
Woke
I love it.
Boat
the
nuts.
Woke Vol Navy is coming for our boat genders.
The Vol Navy has gone woke.
You heard it here first, folks.
Well, it's because they should have called it woke boarding.
I don't even do that anymore.
Because you know what they say when you skip from one side of the boat to the other, that's where it turns you. Mm-hmm. When you cross the ski ropes, that's when it turns you.
I got my Trans Am to tow my woke boat.
Whoa, buddy.
Yeah.
Anyway, you were saying something, I'm sure.
This is how short...
Nintendo Twain.
I like that you can actually name South Carolina
Nintendo
names.
Nintendo Twain is like a Texas Tech receiver, right?
He's got to be, but he's on the verge of transfer, and they're like, ah, damn, we lost Nintendo Twain.
The problem with Nintendo Twain is his real name is Sega Longhorn Clemens.
Ugh.
Dude, Sega Longhorn Clemens is going to be like the most fire Austin defense attorney with really wild ads.
A Yukon Husky in King Arthur's Court.
Don't let Atari hear you say that.
I got a DUI out in Lockhart, but Sega Clemens got me off that, man. Hook him.
Into the little commercial. Sega.
Sega.
That would be a baller stadium cheer when somebody's lining up to kick and the whole stadium's just going, Sega.
By the way, this is historically a franchise, South Carolina, that's given us names like Captain Munnerlyn.
A franchise?
Yes. I call them a franchise, baby.
I mean, like, Jadeveon and Clowney only recently passed from these halls.
NFC East stalwart, the South Carolina Gamecocks.
They're more NFC South by quality. Come on.
South's great look this year.
Mm-hmm.
All the important South teams won.
Mm-hmm. This is a franchise that currently has on the roster O'Donnell Fortune.
Sure.
Yeah, just Captain Munnerlyn, historically speaking. The quarterback's name is Spencer Rattler. We sleep on that a lot.
Yeah, we don't even think of Jadeveon Clowney as an unusual name anymore because he's just become such a part of the landscape.
That's a wild-ass name. Yeah. Django Extra Steve Taneyhill, right? Like, just some wild-ass names from the state of South Carolina. Tonka Hemingway way up there. But this is how short Georgia is on motivational shit, that Kirby was told this in a press conference, some little snitching-ass question, right? Like, oh, here's what South Carolina said. They said Georgia wasn't loud. No, they didn't. They said Texas A&M and Tennessee were loud.
Georgia's a different kind of loud. It's, like, annoyingly loud.
They said Steph Curry can't shoot.
Oh!
They said Charlie Brown has hoes.
Yeah. No, he didn't, Ryan. No, he didn't. That's not true.
Somebody asked Kirby Smart what he thinks about Charlie Brown having hoes or not.
He's like looking on his roster to see which player are they disrespecting. I don't have anyone named Charles Brown, but whichever player I have that you're referring to, I assure you, you're incorrect.
May not be the week to bring that up to Kirby.
So, and Kirby said, "Well, I hope this is a challenge to." The dog faithful to get out there at 3:30 and to be loud, you know, because Tonka said something. Tonka didn't. You got to mind that you got to take two left turns to make that turn, right? You got to
rolling through both stop signs. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, through both stop signs down a one way to make that conclusion.
They're going
to
win the fucking national title. Be on stage talking about Hemingway wrote entire books about how quiet we are. All mm-hmm. Quiet in Athens is the name of the book he wrote.
Nobody in American literature believed in us.
I think you all are looking at this the wrong way. I think Kirby is embracing this as a challenge. Like, I bet the coaches have a bet. They're like, hey, Kirby, I bet you can't find some bullshit bulletin board material this week. He's like, watch this! Mm-hmm. I'll take a comment that had nothing to do with our school and make it Georgia-centric, baby!
Is this how, like, the writing staff on the West Wing used to make bets on who could work the dumbest phrase into a script?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes. Aaron Sorkin is on staff at Georgia.
This is how we got an episode of television named the Steam Pipe Trunk Distribution Venue.
We're running the walk and talk office.
You know who'd win that contest on the Georgia staff? It's Muschamp, right? You used the phrase fart closet in a press conference. Kirby's like,
so fart closet and proud of you boys.
Yeah.
Never said I couldn't use it as an adjective.
See if you can get that in with someone in the scrum, and Muschamp just yells out fart closet for no reason.
Tell you what, our third down offense was stinkier than a fart closet.
He's probably said that.
Stinkier than a fart closet at a Methodist barbecue.
He's bad. It was bad.
That's pretty much
the way. Just assume they're very mayo based.
Before we get into this afternoon's agenda,
play my music. Play the music.
Podcast business. Podcast business. What's that business?
Only podcast business. Stop
podcast
it.
Business. And it's here. And yeah, give us money for the stuff that we make. And we've got a lot of it to go over.
Too. That's the worst part. He has musical.
For the record,
background.
I always clap on the two.
Where should we begin? There's some gentle listeners. If you are returning to the Fullcast for the first time, or for the first time in a little while, we have so many things that we do besides this ramshackle podcast. Spencer and Holly, why don't y'all go first with your group projects?
Our group project is a newsletter we call Channel 6. Channel 6.
That is its name.
That is correct. Channel 6 is our bi-weekly newsletter. That's right. Two things a week that you get for subscribing. One of them is free. One of them is paid. The full, glorious, paid access to Channel 6 and all of the content it provides, including during the college football season, the top whatever, has all of our seasonal openers, has our features, and whatever else we care to throw down your way.
We just disgorged 3,000 words of feelings about passing of Jimmy Buffett, if that's your thing.
That is correct.
That's in there.
We just hand that out, okay? But if you subscribe to all of it, you can do so at channel-6.ghost.io. That's channel-6.ghost.io.
Like the moon of Jupiter.
You also have another podcast back, yes?
That is true. I also do DNF, which is a podcast for those of you inclined to the Formula One system of existence, i.e. a four-wheeled existence, done with Jessica Spatana on Metalark Media's own podcast channel. That is a DNF. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. We'll be talking about Singapore here.
I got mine at Target. Jessica.
Yeah.
Yep. Whenever they got BOGO, that's what I do.
Get that BOGO. Pick you up a DNF.
Jason, what do you got going on?
Let's see here. So it might sound weird for me to recommend yet another podcast in addition to this one.
What?
And Spencer's and Jess's during football season, but there's only one college football podcast, so it's not like I'm actually adding anything to your to your listening plate, because there's only one college football podcast taking up your time this time of year anyway. Vacation Bible School podcast is a show I do with my wife in which we are working our way through the Bible. We've made it through the book of Samuel just about. And it's been very fun to see the number of listeners who have come along from this show and given that one a shot and found it to be like a lot more fun than it sounds and a lot more educational, at least for me, than it sounds. We've had a very funny array of guests from Ryan and numerous other people in sports media. Spencer and Holly, we have scheduled for episodes down the road. But additionally, like actual academics and people from
did you people,
including that very dog.
No, you the dog was responding because you said we have Spencer and Holly scheduled for episodes down the road, and there was this huge thunderclap outside.
Oh, okay.
Lord, we've learned humility.
I consider that approval. But yeah, it's a it's a fun show, I promise. Additionally, a thing I have coming up that I have mentioned will be posted at shutdownfullbooks.com. It'll also be at other places, Amazon, your local bookstore, so on and so forth. I have a novel coming out that I'm waiting on a few more things to fall into place before revealing details. I might have cover art to share at some point in the next few weeks. And really, once that happens, then I will probably just start spamming details all over the place. But for now, you can sign up at my Substack, jasonkirk.fyi, home of the very free weekly college football watch grid, as well as shutdownfullbooks.com, to be the first to know.
You should definitely stay tuned to Shutdown Full Books, the internet's only book publisher, which Jason has just gone and invented, because that's the kind of entrepreneurship that we encourage here in our Shutdown Fullcast laboratory.
I have a newsletter I'm doing with Homefield Apparel called Buried Treasure. The one that is coming out next week is about multiple arsons at Idaho and Washington State in 1970, and how they forced, a little bit of a spoiler, forced Washington State to not play at home and Idaho to play their home games at a partially burned down Washington State stadium.
Kick ass.
It's called football. Makes a lot of sense.
Which parts of it were burnt down?
The press box and one of the main grandstands.
Okay.
It's like 10,000 seats. It was a lot. Server and I work on a podcast in an alternate universe where there is no shutdown full cast, and so it has to be the podcast that is the single college football podcast in existence. It's called We're Not All Like This. The TCU episode came out today. Again, not in our timeline, but in the alternative timeline where Spencer is a Supreme Court justice somehow and super corrupt, just like nakedly, wild, literally nakedly corrupt.
So I'm a Supreme Court justice. Hey!
Yeah. And so are we talking about your professorship? Is that a thing we're discussing these days? We haven't asked you about it on this show.
Yeah, I want to know how this is going.
I was talking to Connor the other day about this. Ryan, you were there. Mm-hmm. About, like, he said, you know, it's basically a pushover, which lets people do anything. I'm trying to avoid doing that, but I think I talked a big game with Connor, and he's going to listen to this and be like, yeah, he said he was going to crack down on these students turning in stuff late. And I'm not. There's like two people with a week late assignment, and I emailed them today, and I was like, hey, you going to turn this in so you can get some credit? I'm not a hard ass. I'm learning very quickly that I'm a pushover. But I'm having a lot of fun, and I've got a really talented group. I got a really talented group of kids. They're like really cool. And I'm excited to watch them get better because I kind of have a cool spot of like seeing them when they don't really know anything and they come in, and almost everyone in my class, this is their first time in college. And I don't know. I'm rambling. Anyway, the thing I'll say at the only other thing I'll say is like I really believe in the community college system, and I think it's great, and I'm happy to be participating in it.
So. Hell yeah. What is your sartorial style as a professor?
I think, like, I don't know. I do a lot of, like, standing up and talking about my experience mm-hmm. as it relates to the text, because I am kind of, like, I'm teaching something that's, like, you're supposed to hit these points to get it, because every audio-video thing in the state is the same. So there is some, like, structure to it, but I'm trying to just kind of not be a robot. But I don't know if I'm doing a good job yet or not. But, like, they're grasping the concept. They're grasping the concept. Their work that they submitted hasn't sucked. So, but okay. That's a testament to them too, probably.
Okay.
Those who have submitted their work, those who haven't.
If you're listening to the full cast, you haven't submitted Professor Server's assignment. What the fuck?
It's video journal too. It's not going to be difficult. Answer the 10 questions in the text.
I think you should make Spencer do some of these assignments going forward, but that's a separate discussion. One more item
What does make mean?
Okay. That's bringing back a lot of fun memories.
Generally speaking.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
One more item for podcast business. Let's say you wanted to wallow in human misery, and by that I mean attend.
It's Florida, Tennessee week.
I'm actually talking about the backyard brawl.
I'm not ready to talk about that.
This year, Pittsburgh and West Virginia are playing in Morgantown. The loser is guaranteed to have as many bad feelings possible about their head coach, who they hate. Like, there is no way out of this. There is no honorable, exciting game where one side says, you know what? Our loser of a coach, he's pretty good, and we like him, and we want to keep him here. Now, you go to gametime.co, and you say, all right, I'm seeing cheapest tickets here, $165 each, right? What if I could told you we could get you those for $145? You know how you do that? Holy you download shit. The GameTime app, you create an account, you use code FULLCAST. Now you got $20 extra to use off your first purchase. What can you put that towards? I don't know, a message plane that circles around the stadium with some extremely profane message about the head coach that you hate. Gravel
you
that
see
you
the
could
one
pour.
At El Asico that was not profane.
No.
It was deeply mean.
No.
It said, be likable, Ron.
Mm-hmm. I can't.
I just assume that his mother sent that.
I'm trying. The nice thing about Game Time, you don't have to stress out about trying to buy tickets. Try to go find the best price. Go figure out, you know, who you go get them from last minute. Game Time is fast, easy, and it can be the smoothest part of your backyard brawl. Because all the rest of it's gonna be miserable. Game Time will be the one thing that's not. That's it. That's podcast business for the week.
This is where we should play the podcast business song backwards.
Don't
convert all
don't
of our
do it, Spencer. Don't do it.
To the dark arts.
Try I it. Don't know if I can. I just started to process it in my mind and just saw plaid. You know?
No, don't event horizon this
you
podcast.
You can at least go ba 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 ba.
Can I offer one other thing before we get into discussing, well, potentially discussing football? I don't know if that's what we're going to do.
No, Ryan.
Okay, never mind.
No, but please do.
All right. I got an email from Brenton. I don't know if he wants us to use his last name.
That's not a real name.
You know what?
I don't know how anonymous you want to be with a name like Brenton.
Hey, Brenton, tip number one. Your name's Tonka now. Look at that. Yeah. We just upgraded you. All right. Brenton mentioned that we talked about Dak Prescott's Daffy Duck leg tattoo in the most recent Fullcast After Dark.
We sure did.
Spoiler. Cowboys fucking dump trucked the Giants.
Yay!
Yeah, I asked if Daffy Duck was hard, and I got my answer.
You got your answer. Brenton
it's the fat leg giving him all his power.
Brenton decided before hearing about this tattoo that he's going to get his first tattoo, and then it's going to be Muppet-themed. He's not completely sure what it should be and wants to know what Muppet he should get tattooed on his body. Quote, if it helps, and I hope that it does not, I am a Penn State fan. I want to throw that to y'all and see what guidance you can offer.
This is where I wish we had buzzers because I would be slamming my hand down on the desk so hard and just yelling, Sweetums!
Sweetums.
Full back piece of Sweetums.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sweetums is pretty strong.
I mean... Animal feels like a good choice.
What about Sweetums riding the Penn State nitty kitty?
That would be good.
All right, so you are a Penn State fan. Without knowing anything about this gentleman, mm-hmm. I do want to put him in a Penn State kind of mode. So in terms of the Muppet that most represents the values of most Penn State fans that I know and admire, right? Like if I were to say, who is the... Treblaw
of Muppets.
Low-key, you know. It might be Rolf.
Rolf is a strong suggestion.
Yeah.
Okay. I would also want to say Rizzo the Rat. Is
I thought
very...
you were going to say Lou Zealand for some reason.
No, I mean
it's
a little too.
Inland King Prawn.
Lou's got a lot of effort. You know,
sure,
I feel like
sure.
Penn State's kind of effortlessly weird when they're weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
If you're into Thon girls, I would suggest Camilla. She's got like a big Thon kind of energy.
Yeah.
James Franklin just misused another timeout. Oh!
I think the Muppet who most represents Penn State fans online during a Penn State game is Beaker. Just sort of like freaking out and shrieking in no particular direction, but like back the very next week, no matter how weird or bad it got. Just there he is.
I like that one.
Hit me with a shovel.
I like that one because Beaker's actually at his funniest when he's calm, because yes. I like when Beaker's just in the background attempting to be normal, and he's like, and you're like, is fucking Beaker in this meeting? I like
who
that.
Who is the Bunsen? Who is the Bunsen of the Big Ten?
Gosh.
Minnesota.
Is Michigan the Bunsen?
Is it James Franklin himself? And Beaker's like, what are you doing to us?
Y'all, I love the Michigan fan base in general, but it's Sam the Eagle. Come on.
Michigan.
Yeah, so because there's a proper way of doing things, Bunsen, and I am reading my bound volumes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Is Bunsen Purdue?
Bunsen is Purdue. It is. Because, you know, they're alleged to be like great engineers and scientists, but I ain't no shit they've done. Right?
They made a big old drum that one time.
They got a big, yeah. They do. They wheel that thing out and they say, here's my latest experiment.
Phenomenally large drum.
Yeah. The phenomenally large drum.
I could totally see
nominally,
you running a gorilla detector.
A somewhat above average sized drum.
Beaker's in it for some reason.
Also, suspicious amount of cornfields around that campus. They could hide a gorilla.
They could. Who will know? This gorilla detector will help. So I think we've got that's a pretty good, Beaker's a solid one. I think that Bunsen Honeydew is definitely Purdue.
I do think you should start calling your biceps Statler and Waldorf, whether or not you get the tattoos, though.
No!
You first! Yeah. Statler and Waldorf is also a very, very, very good one.
I feel like as a show, we've inspired a surprisingly low number of tattoos, especially considering the amount that you've gotten.
Sweetums is a really good, really good answer, though, to be clear.
Yeah. I mean, because his head, he looks like a pom-pom.
Yeah.
Well, oh, man, what if it's just like a row of shakers laid out in the student section, but it's all like Sweetums' face on a stick? That's pretty metal, right?
Yeah.
Well, how about a second tier character, Bobo the Bear, described as imposing yet easily amused and befuddled.
And and he's got a briefcase sometimes for no reason.
He's also a business bear, which again, nothing funnier than a Muppet in a business situation, right? Where you're like, is Bobo actually opening Excel?
That's really the entire Big Ten.
Is Bobo the
easily
bear?
Amused business bears.
Muppets trying to look like they're doing business.
Yeah, also Bobo Bobo the Bear is always the one who's like, oh no, we're going to break a rule. Well, maybe we shouldn't break a rule.
Sure. Who's Dr. Teeth?
So you need a real incredible amount of style.
Yeah.
You need to be outlandish.
Yeah. We're already out of the Big Ten.
It's LSU's Dr. Teeth. Come on.
Not King Prawn?
King Prawn can be Tulane.
Strong. That's pretty strong.
No, flattering colors, too, for his complexion.
Yeah.
That little seafoam.
Pepe's pretty charming too, right? Hello, my sherry.
Tonka, I hope that helped. I hope you are well on your tattoo journey now. His name's Tonka. I'm gonna call him Tonka.
His legally binding advice.
Yeah.
Yankee Tonka.
Pencil Tonka.
He's dandy.
You know the sax player Zoot?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's gotta be. Well, what's a team with no memory that never, ever remember? You know what? That's South Carolina. They just keep showing up at the stadium, and they're too high to remember how bad they are. Hey, man. We're here again. You know you've never won anything. What? Yeah. South Carolina is either Zoot or Janice.
Yeah, I can see Janice being a South Carolina fan.
For sure. Are we just going to do Muppet voices for the rest of the hour? I'm cool with that.
I am totally fine.
I think that's
so. What about Fraggle Rock then?
Ooh.
Oh, there's a lot of boobers in the Big Ten. It's like the boober Wembley axis.
I will tell you, I don't know exactly how to assign the schools, but everyone in the Pac-12 is a Fraggle because
they
made no plans.
They're all red. It's the high diving conference, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They made no plans.
No, I think the Pac-12 are the doozers and the Big 12 are the Fraggles. They're just like, oh, just come along and this looks cool. Thanks, man. And the fucking doozers are like, you're fucking kidding me. But really, it's the doozer's fault because it's like, you should do. You should, why are you doing this?
Yeah, look, a Cincinnati. Whee! Yeah.
Maybe the Big 12 can be the Yep Yep Aliens. It's like, you want to join our conference? Yep.
Oh, the best. The greatest.
Do you want to go over here? Yep.
Yep, yep, yep.
The greatest Muppets of all time. Yes. Give them to the Big 12.
I think the Big 12
could
all...
also be the Count Von Count, where it's just like 15, 16, 23 teams.
Pac-12 are all Crazy Harry this year, right? Like, be a shame if you lost to the Pac-12 team in the conference that doesn't exist.
No, Pac-12 is Pac-12 is old school Snuffleupagus, where it's like, he's not real. You're just imagining him.
It's Washington State, the drunk Snuffleupagus. Why is it putting its trunk in the beer cave?
Hey, did you see, sorry to pivot immediately to football, but did you see Arkansas's offense? They're going to start running the spread more.
No.
Yeah, it's called Pigs in Space.
I wish I had a sound bar with the dunk noise.
Where's the chime? Did we move the chimes down here? Hit the chimes.
Just know that in my heart, I'm Shaq holding the camcorder at the dunk contest. Just like, oh, shit.
But really, are they? Because I'm concerned for KJ.
Sorry, no.
Pastor's very serious,
sorry.
Jason.
No, sorry to do that to you. That's not. It's not real.
Yeah.
Pigs in space can't hurt you.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about the SEC this week.
Why?
You literally led by talking about South Carolina, Georgia. That's the first thing talked about.
There's no better time to talk about it.
You know, South Carolina is not the only zoot in this cast. Okay.
Okay.
What, man? What are we talking about?
For the record, the dog just crawled under the couch and is only showing her nose. I know, baby.
That's right, man.
I know.
What do you want to talk about then?
I do want to talk about, like, the schedule. I do.
You don't
want to. Oh, it's time for looking at the schedule.
It's time for looking at a screen at the schedule.
Reading up the internet for money.
Reading the schedules. Off the internet, we're reading schedules.
So the weeknight sucks. Straight to Saturday.
We get paid so much for this.
Yeah, I think that's.
Yeah, watch grid. Watch grid conductor. What are we in for?
Is Utah State Air Force going to be maybe fun?
No. Well, I mean, anything's a maybe, but I'm not betting on it.
Okay.
Being fun.
Okay.
Watch grid weather, man. What's our forecast?
Saturday.
I can't. I can't believe you're skipping past the ACC reunion game. Of Virginia at Maryland. How dare you?
Reunion.
How dare you?
What does that mean? What does that mean, reunion?
Oh, yeah.
Great point.
fantastic point.
Maryland would have to leave first.
I think it's... hold on. I'm going to check.
I don't know.
Game time. I apologize if I'm getting this wrong. It is possible if you use your game time discount on... this game, you will get paid to go to Virginia at Maryland based on the cheapest tickets.
That's a good sign.
You know what? I'd do it. I'd do it for some like Utz crab flavored chips. I would. If you were like, hey man, we'll give you a free ticket and some Utz chips, I'll be like,
well, you've always been a man of high editorial standards. So. Yeah.
What?
Is this? Do you think this is Roger's scheme? For Road Raj, he's going to these games, and each time he's making like $4 off game time.
Oh my god! Mm-hmm. He's just coming up with a new wow.
That's why he goes to 40 games a week. He's like, woohoo! Made $160.
Yep. Could Georgia Southern maybe?
I was just thinking about that. Okay.
Georgia Southern is heading
to Wisconsin.
In terms
of like an alternate timeline, we told you that like 2 years ago, we tell you that Clay Helton and Luke Fickell are meeting. And we tell you to guess what schools they're both coaching.
Right.
Wouldn't have guessed it in a million years.
Like this is an alternate timeline Rose Bowl.
100%.
Yeah.
I think what we're trying to do is carry over Georgia Southern's giant killing from a game where they really didn't kill a giant. They kind of just killed a normal sized fella.
Nebraska last year?
That's just murder.
Yeah, that's just murder. Yeah.
Regular
murder. But now Georgia Southern wasn't bad. Like, they lost to Coastal by 4. They beat JMU, and JMU was damn good last year.
You're thinking of a different Georgia Southern.
Yeah, and they're off to a fine start this year.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm not saying, definitely put the upset on right
Wisconsin
now.
Wisconsin might be a little I would be sulky after last week if I were Wisconsin, because good night.
Wisconsin's just up and down and still figuring out. That's all, you know.
It can't really run the ball. Can't run the ball. 90 yards against
Washington
State.
No, this is still my people's Heisman team. I have high hopes for this Wisconsin
team. I do too, but I think that's...
Georgia Southern, a prepared Georgia Southern team is not a team I would want to face in week three.
Sure.
This sounds like a pesky game with the possibility to become infected. How about that?
Yeah.
I'll say it looks much more competitive than it would have a week or two ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Georgia Southern, by the way, coming off
to the point where I possibly would take the Georgia Southern plus 19.
19. Okay.
Sam Man.
All right.
Hey, that's Georgia Southern coming off of a 49-35 defeat of Trent Dilfer.
He won the Super Bowl.
That's what he looks like. No,
I love
no.
that the UAB is completely transparent. Their hiring process is basically like, let's Colorado hired Dion and everyone liked it. Let's find a former player who works anywhere near college football. You.
The funniest comparison of that was like, the thing not everybody forgot, but like, it wasn't just we hired Dion. It was like, and also all these recruits that were. Trent Dilfer didn't have any fucking recruits to bring with him. It was just Trent Dilfer.
He brought like a best boy.
Yeah. What do you bring with you?
Golf.
I have a zip.
I have a lot of used
Elite
golf
11
balls.
Gear.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm willing to bring snacks. You're in.
You think he's willing to bring snacks?
Not good ones.
Uh-oh. No.
Like the
brings you like the flat Nature's Miracle granola bars.
Yeah, the ones that are real hard to chew.
Yeah, the
chip
ones that look like plywood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a soft spot in my heart for those. Come on over, Dilf.
What, really?
Such a weird dude.
Dilf.
I know.
Dilf.
Do you just like,
that's what I call him.
Does your mouth just like to fight?
Yes.
Okay.
The Dilf of Birmingham.
Dad, I'd like to fire.
hate you so much.
This Saturday is going to be one where you do a little exploring, yeah. Where you go in with a flexible plan, so to speak.
Because there are no ranked games, right?
I mean, you've heard the games we've started with, folks. Like, this is the noon spot where, like, could I talk you into LSU, Mississippi State over K-State, Mizzou? Maybe, but why would I try that hard to do so? Like, just hop around a little bit. Like, I'm just going to tell you, I have Louisville, Indiana, and Iowa State, Ohio as maybe watch games. That's how grim it is to start off your Saturday.
Could I interest you in a potential post-game coach hug-off?
It would have to involve probably, like, submission moves and...
Well,
devastating
you're in luck.
Aerial feats. And...
Because guess who North Carolina is hosting?
Oh, no.
Guess.
I looked.
Who do you want to see Mac try and get a neck hold on after last week?
Oh, I just saw.
Is it PJ Fleck?
It is PJ Fleck.
It is now.
Look at that.
We joked last week about Lane learning Krav Maga. PJ is Krav Maga.
Krav Maga,
he's on
the man.
Somewhere.
Yeah. Don't try choking PJ Fleck.
I don't actually know if he's Jewish. I just mean he probably knows a shit ton of Krav Maga.
This is one of those weird out of conference games that really snuck up on me, and I would not remember if I looked at it four times. But Minnesota is going to North Carolina. North Carolina, which has committed to play only the wildest fucking games thus far.
Wild schedule on their part.
Yeah. I love it. That's great. I love that they took a coach who does not enjoy these kind of games at all and put him through this schedule, right? Like, Mac was like...
Really appreciated what Mac said after the game, and I feel like he got unfairly dragged for it, and I'm all for unfairly dragging Mac Brown, but he had a point.
I don't want you to invite me back, right? Like, yeah,
I don't want to play these games anymore. This isn't fun.
My main issue with it is it's like, if they schedule this for... If App State and UNC are like, 4 years from now, we're going to do this again. Mac Brown's not going to be there, is he?
You don't know that.
He's not gonna, oh, God. What if he is?
You
oh,
don't
Jesus
know
Christ.
That.
He sucked so much blood.
He's 72.
So are we referring to him saying basically it's NC State's turn to play these guys?
Which is technically true as the
completely fair.
I thought it was fair. Like, that's the first thing he's ever said that I thought was funny.
I think App State has Clemson coming up in a future schedule as well.
Yep. I think it's next year or the year after.
Something like that.
That's the last. I think I'm pretty sure that's the last time they're on the schedule for Clemson for the foreseeable, but they did. For whatever reason, they scheduled them twice.
Welcome to hell.
Carolina and App State are playing this very weekend. That might be a game I will watch.
It is very much NC State's and Duke's fucking turn, though. And, like, Wake Forest owes Appalachian State a game as well because Wake Forest ran away.
Yeah.
In the early 2000s, they were like, plates. We're not going to play y'all anymore because, And they honestly, like, Wake should redeem themselves by playing Appalachian State because I'm pretty sure the last time they lost.
Yeah.
I think App State has a, like, hold on, I just was looking at this the other day. I'm going to find it. They have, like, their little future football schedules part of the website. But then at the bottom, just load, you piece of shit. Yes. So they play... Here's who we got. Next year at Clemson. Year after that, home against NC State. Year after that, at NC State. 2027, at South Carolina. Nobody in 28, 29, or 30. 2033, home against South Carolina. And then another road game in 2034. And at the bottom... TBD, three games versus Wake Forest, one in Boone, two in Winston-Salem. Like, there is some sort of literal contractual IOU that they're just sitting on. I hope they just drop it on Wake and they're like, 2026, you gotta play us three times, brother. Twice at your place and once at ours.
Now that we know it can all be done after the BYU Coastal Carolina Instant Classic of the COVID season, they should be, at some point in the contract, after several or however many years of backing out on it, you should be able to spring these games on a team with 72 hours notice.
You thought you had a bye week? Oh, you playing App State, buddy?
I'm like, we'll come to you.
So that you could just ring the bell and insta challenge anyone. I think teams should be able to do this, right?
I think that's what should happen the week after the week of the conference championship games. That should be the rest of the schedule
for people who aren't in the conference championship.
Well, like in wrestling, you have to run over with the binder and open it up and get them to sign the contract for the match before the ref can ring the bell.
University presidents with golf carts around campus.
Well, like, imagine somebody coming to Mac and he's just not going to sign it, right? Like, Mac Brown signed this challenge. He's like, not doing it. Nope.
Or like in boxing.
I got a dental appointment.
In boxing or MMA, if you're like, oh, here's this bout that we scheduled, but one guy got hurt and now we got to fill it in. Like, we should have the same thing where if we get to the end of the season and we're like, oh, damn, we were really hopeful that this is going to be like a top 10 matchup, but one of these teams lost four games. We should be able to swap in like another top 10 team. Just be like, all right, that's the bout now instead.
Ah, that's called the Florida Clause. We thought these guys were going to be top 10.
Nobody thought Florida was going to be top 10. Nobody.
No, go look.
That's an outdated clause.
No, historically, over the last 30 years, no team has underperformed in terms of preseason projections than Florida.
I don't think that's true. Texas A&M still exists. Yeah.
Nobody's ever put like Texas A&M in, like, until...
What are you talking about?
Let's see.
Until recently? This is a very recent thing.
Oh, my God.
Is this like when you did that one episode and you had the wrong year of schedules open? All right, old man.
What is
Texas A&M?
I am correct.
Okay, show your work.
A&M AP preseason rankings, number 6, number 6, number 13, number 12. A few years before that, there's a number 7, there's a number 8. All right.
But look at where the post is. 2011, preseason 8, postseason 0.
Yeah, so all those were since 2011. Meanwhile, here are Florida's top 10 preseason rankings, 8, 8, 10. It's A&M. No.
It's A&M. Yes. It is A&M.
No, if you go, hold on, I'm going to find
Spencer, A&M has
I just listed. A&M
since
has
2011,
like twice as many preseason
A&M has
top
been
tens.
Ranked in the top 10 four times they have in the preseason. They have only finished ranked in the final top 20, top 5 one of those years.
Hold on. I've got this. Hold on. This is like, hold on. I will find
Stay
it.
Stay on target.
I will find it.
Stay Florida, on target.
Florida's last AP preseason rankings. 8, finished 13th. Not bad. 8, finished 6th. They improved.
Like, yes, fifth, Florida is a lot 14th, of things, but they are not like constantly overrated by the national media.
They are not. Sorry, dude. Like, you are so persecuted.
What are you looking for? What are you possibly looking for?
Your problems aren't that bad.
Hold on.
Your problems are not that bad.
God. I've only seen two national championships as Hold an on. Adult.
Florida's problems are bad. It's just this isn't one of them. Florida's problem is that everybody knows they're bad.
Damn, Napier is turning Miami, all of y'all into Clemson fans.
From 16 to unranked. 14 to unranked. Okay. 8 to unranked.
My data is, this is what I was remembering. My data is a bit old. It could use some updating. Okay. But in a 2017 article from 538.
Oh, Jesus.
6 years
Get
ago.
The fuck out. Get the fuck out.
Hold on.
Six
this is what
years
I,
ago, dude.
This is what I was remembering over the past two decades going back to
Texas A&M and
I could
Florida
finish.
In the past 6 years.
You could hear me out.
He called,
You're
he
supposed
called
to
Nate
be the
Silver.
Smart one.
I am.
Nate Silver.
This is Mods. What I was remembering.
Mods.
2017 Nate Silver.
Mods are asleep 27. Post-2017.
What? Oh, you want me to quote 2023 Nate Silver? Please. Stat Kanye at this point. I'm not hearing it.
We don't want any Nate Silver.
Yeah. That the teams that had historically over the past two decades prior to this, which teams had underperformed.
How many titles did you win in those two decades?
This!
Okay, and the teams, okay, and yep. You know what? We all win because we were all wrong. But we were also all right.
Oh,
so
my
here,
God.
No.
The team most, in a piece of satisfying news, the team that had underperformed the most, 70% of the time worse than their preseason ranking, was Notre Dame.
Okay.
Notre Dame was number one in that respect.
Sure.
The second was Texas. Third okay. was Florida State. Fourth was Penn State. And tied fifth, Florida.
Six 70. Years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I would love to update these numbers.
So you
I'm
said that
in
the,
no
so,
way
so
endeavoring.
Said the, past two, said the past two decades, right?
Yeah.
So
also,
a sample size
also,
of 20 years versus a sample size of 27 years.
Also,
which is
in those,
which is
50%
in those 20 years,
more.
In okay. those 20 years, three national titles. Plus, let's update it since 2017. Again, as noted, you would have an unranked to a top 10, a top 10 to a top 10, a top 10 to a top 13. Like, since then, things are. Florida's been what it's expected to be almost every single year since then.
We have been much more predictable since then, yes.
We. No, Ryan's right. Florida has problems. This is not one of them.
Florida's problem this week is they got to play Tennessee.
No.
We don't have to talk about it, but we should acknowledge that it is happening.
This is the kind of game that Tennessee loses. This is the kind of okay.
Oh, here
look,
we go.
I'm going to say this.
Gonna...
I'm going to get out of the way. This is for my no.
Listen,
I
didn't say anything.
I'm going to say this.
Contest.
I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say this. I'm going to get out of the way. This is for my buddy Big Orange Mac. Since when has it mattered in the Tennessee Florida game whether or not Florida is good?
Past couple of years.
It's not that I'm saying Florida is good. It's that I'm saying that Florida being good has largely in the past been immaterial to the outcome of many Tennessee-Florida games.
So you heard it from Holly. They're coming out in the sackcloth orange this game.
If what Tennessee loses.
I'm not poor-mouthing us. Did you see what we just did last week?
If Tennessee loses to Florida, I'm not even going to finish that sentence. You know what I am going to do instead? Mm-mm. I'm going to share with you a delightful set of numbers. This concerns the Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Oh, God.
Yep. That's where we're at.
Why?
And
the team we can all agree is poor.
And the listenership just drops off the face of the fucking earth. Rutgers is third in the nation at time of possession, averaging over 36 minutes a game. Do you know where they are in yards per play?
Third?
105th.
So that's less.
That's so much nothing.
Rutgers has this amazing ability to just, like, get the ball and just do nothing with it.
The nibbler!
They're vibing. They're out on the deck. What do they have at Rutgers? Porches? Stoops? Decks?
Rutgers is hosting Virginia Tech this week. And I think, like, Virginia Tech's going to be in trouble because they're only going to get, like, five possessions and they're going to be fucked.
This is the tectonic plates offense. This is the thing that used to move the space shuttle to the launch pad, right? 3 miles an hour, and it burns 20,000 gallons of gas a second.
It's like whatever the opposite of the like 7 seconds or less Suns were. Like, this is like Rutgers dribbles up into the front court.
The 23 and a half seconds or
holds
more.
And holds and holds and then tries to get you to foul with 1 second left so that they can then burn more clock after they inbound.
Virginia
the ball.
Basketball.
Yeah.
But
Virginia, Wisconsin basketball finally melded.
But football wise.
But they're 2-0 and this shit is working.
It is working, but man, this is they go to the ATM and they get $10 out, right?
Not even that. They get like $5.47.
Yeah, you have a service charge of $3 on this interaction. I know.
I don't care.
I don't care. Whoop, gotta go back for another 10.
The Subway 5 for 5 costs $5.47, and that's exactly right. What I want to get.
So we've basically gotten to the point of calling this the Greg Schiano driver does not carry change offense.
Memorial.
I love it.
What's in the truck? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. You could kill me, but it wouldn't make either of us happy.
It wouldn't profit you at all, brother.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know what
that's...
you get? Do you know what you'd actually get?
Marcia? Mm.
Here's this. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The one of the greatest non-conference rivalries ever continues at 7:30 Eastern. By the way, that's BYU at Arkansas. That's right, BYU at Arkansas, happening again for reasons no one can explain.
The battle of teams who have made Texas look stupid.
That's a tournament right there.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of rivalries, Nebraska welcomes back NIU. Mike Gundy's allegiances are torn in half as he has to face USA. That'd be South Alabama, but still, this is a Civil War type game. Mm-hmm. The best game in the seventh slot might be, other than Pitt, West Virginia, of course, that might be JMU Troy. Any JMU Troy in the chat?
I'm a little interested in Syracuse Purdue. Mostly because I think like Syracuse has it working on offense, like maybe. And if Syracuse can get back to that thing where they're like, "Yep, we drop 50 points. Sometimes it's not enough, but that's what we drop." That will at least be entertaining, since they still have to play Clemson, UNC, and Florida State this year.
Y'all, I want to go back to Pitt, West Virginia, for just a second.
Okay.
Because I need to talk about Pitt's offense. I need to talk about Pitt's
pass. Do you?
No, I need to talk about Pitt's
pass. Is offense the right word?
Offense?
Yeah, there it is.
Offense might be the more correct
word.
That
is what Pat Narduzzi takes, yes.
Because remember, after having Kenny Pickett and the most dynamic offense in school history, Pat Narduzzi could not fucking wait to get rid of it? God. We don't want to do that again. So they didn't. And he went and hired the offensive coordinator from Boston College. And they went and they got a transfer quarterback who I believe is also from Boston College.
But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like he wasn't bad at Boston College. Am I misremembering that?
He was at Boston College. It's difficult to tell.
Okay.
There's no excuse for being at Boston College.
I forgot he was at Notre Dame before this, too. Wow, mm-hmm. What a journey.
Okay. So, here are a couple of facts from what you might see.
This is the journey of a man slowly shedding Catholicism. Notre Dame to Boston College to Pitt.
This is what you might see from the mind of Frank Cignetti and the arm of Phil Jurkovich, who Phil, as someone pointed out, yes, that is a Phil under the age of 30. He is alone. He is the Highlander among his peers. Congratulations, Phil Jurkovich. All of this happened against Cincinnati, okay? And there's nothing to say that it won't happen even more under West Virginia. Pitt, it's from Alex Kirshner, who you might know from the NFL podcast Split Zone Duo. Pitt had a wideout.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, Bub Means got 11 targets against Cincinnati. They threw the ball in his direction 11 times. He got zero catches. Zero.
So much of this game feels like Pitt was just like, "Oh, you want to pass more, eh? All right, smoke the whole goddamn box."
There's worse. I'm going to read you Phil Jurkovic's line, which is incredible. Incredible. He was 10 for 32 for 179 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know what? Based on week one, that's an NFL line right there. Like, he's right up. That's better than Joe Burrow's numbers.
Hey, 0 interceptions. A little tidier than Josh Allen.
That's right.
For sure. Finished the game, unlike Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
Wow. Quitter. Okay. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Is that the take?
Yeah. Also rushing yards. You go, oh, man, well, they must have really been, like, knocking it out on the ground. Nope. Not at all, dog. 83 yards. They had 83 yards. It's not like they were like, well, we're going to recommit ourselves to defense first, ground and pound football. No, y'all. They committed themselves to, like, bad by design. And you go, well, maybe, surely this means one of those Iowa-type things where you created offense so bad it made the defense thrive. Nope, they lost 27-21.
No, and they gave up 216 rushing yards to Cincinnati. Yeah, mm-hmm. There.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be a rough pit year.
It's gonna be a rough pit year, but if they got to play West Virginia, and you want to give Neil Brown a little bit of desperately needed hope,
what is the over under on this game? He said cursedly.
This may be the way to do it.
50.5.
That's
quite a few.
Okay. That's quite a few.
I mean, a lot. I think that's reflective of, like, oh, neither of these defenses inspire a lot of confidence. Like, there's going to be a broken play touchdown in this game, for sure.
Well, I mean, you know Phil Jurkovic is going to be airing it out, baby. I watched him underthrow a deep ball so badly that the wide receiver had to come back to it like it was a punt. Like, the DBs backed up and were like...
Hey, he caught that one, though, didn't he?
He caught it for, like, a 20-yard gain, yeah.
Man, how many games do you think Pat Narduzzi has coached at Pitt?
So many.
It's
way more than I thought it was.
Let's see. Is he coached over 50? Right?
105.
What?
105!
How many do you remember? Like, 7?
Maybe 2.
Clemson, Miami, last year's Backyard Brawl.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there was a silly bowl game that we really enjoyed.
A couple of those Kenny Pickett games.
There's definitely a Penn State game that I mostly remember for, I don't know, James Franklin did something ridiculous that we all hated, but they won anyway.
Yeah, it's probably a Penn State game. Yeah,
it's probably like 5 or 6.
FCS game of the week. Sacramento State, Stanford. Not yet convinced that Stanford is all that much better. Sacramento State is formidable, imposing, dangerous. So Big Sky supremacists. That's our best opportunity this week.